الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فإن خفتم شقاق بينهما فبعثوا حكما من أهله وحكما من أهلها إن يريدا إصلاحا يوفق الله بينهما وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أبغض الحلال إلى الله الطلاق. My respected elders and brothers, firstly, I just want to mention one masla. Whenever we enter into a masjid, then it is sunnat that we read two rakats of tahiyyatul masjid. When we enter into a masjid, whenever we come in, then the adab and etiquette is like you have to read two rakats tahiyyatul masjid. But you have to remember that at three times it is haram to read namaz. Three times. The first is at the time of sunrise. So sometimes we wake up very late for Fajr. We should avoid as far as possible. But sometimes you wake up very late, your eyes open late. Now, you have to see the time that it is not sunrise time. And 3 minutes before sunrise, exact sunrise time, and 3 minutes after. So it's how many minutes? It's about 6 minutes. Sometimes it's total 6 minutes. Because maybe your watch is wrong. So you can't read namaz at the time of sunrise, you can't read namaz at the time of zawal, and you cannot read namaz at the time of sunset. Sometimes you're sitting in the masjid, waiting for the maghrib azan, and you see some people, they come in, they got delayed, and now it's 2 minutes left for azan of maghrib, and you see the man reading his asr namaz. It's haram to read namaz at that time because the sun is setting. I'm saying the words haram to read namaz. Similarly, at the time of zawal, so we come into the masjid, I notice some masjids, they have this light, like they have that thing on, but they don't have a sign, so somebody won't know. But the purpose of that light in a masjid is to warn someone that it is a time of zawal, you can't read namaz now. And they have dedicated, like a specific person, his job is to put it on and off. So he'll see his time, he'll see his zawal time, and it's 3 minutes before that he'll put it on. And 3 minutes after zawal, then he'll switch it off. So about for that 6-7 minutes, you can engage in a zikr of Allah, in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you cannot read namaz. It's not allowed for us to read namaz. So we must keep this masla in mind, and tell our ladies at home also, that this particular time, that's why if you have a perpetual timetable in your home, we give it free in our office. So if you have the perpetual timetable, then it's written there exactly when is the starting time of namaz. Now at the starting time of namaz, maybe 1 or 2 minutes after the starting time, you can read your namaz. The ladies don't have to wait for azan. Sometimes the ladies will say, you know, is the azan finished? Can I read my namaz? So the masla is that when the time comes in, they must read the namaz as soon as possible. And at least 1 or 2 minutes you allow because of your time being maybe incorrect. Like how we allow for sunset. You can break your fast at the time of sunset. Once the sun has set, you can break your fast. But the timetable is designed in such a manner that they give 3 minutes allowance. Like that, when it's time for you to fast, to start your fast, when Sehri ends, so the timetable will say there 5 minutes is allowed for precaution time. Meaning that this is not an exact time when your fast has started. It's actually 5 minutes exactly after this, but for precaution. You know, some people have this habit, they watch 5 minutes fast or something like that, so they don't get delayed. So Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq, my dear brothers. The time is very short. I actually wanted to speak on a very important topic this afternoon, and that is pertaining to a important masla that many of us, you know, we don't regard it to be, or we do regard it to be sensitive, but we are not fully au fait of the masail relating to this very important masla regarding our relationship with our wife and the masla regarding talaq and divorce. So in our experience in our offices, we've come across several types of, what can I say, misconceptions. I actually had the whole bayan to talk about this, but due to the limitation of time, I'm just going to talk about the misconceptions, and that will take about 5 or 10 minutes, and the time will already be up. Maybe at a later session, we can discuss, you know, the beauty of our deen. that on one hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us and says, you know, and people know this ayat very well, where Allah talks about فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُم مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَا وَسُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ. You know, that you can marry women 2, 3, or 4. This ayat the men know very well. But what comes after that, they forget about that. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدَةً. And if you fear that you cannot do justice between them, then for you is only one. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, when he was married to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, he never married another wife. After she passed away, then he married other wives. Then he married other wives. And there was hikmat and wisdom in him marrying, and ulama have written volumes of why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had multiple wives. He is the only personality whose private life is public. The only personality whose private life is public, because he told his wives that what I do in the confines of my home, you must relate it to the ummah. That is why you'll find in the ahadith, you know, chapters are written on the conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam within the confines of his home. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha reports in the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he came home, then, you know, he was very soft-natured. When he came home, he mended his own shoe or his own clothing, and he assisted in the household chores. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to get up for salah at night, then the words come, ruwaydan, ruwaydan. He opened the door softly, you know, he got up softly. He came into the home, he made salam softly. When he left, he made salam softly in such a manner that if somebody was asleep, then they would not be disturbed in their sleep. And the one who was awake, he would be able to answer to the salam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he is the only personality sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whose private life is public. So in regards to his manner and conduct with his wives, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith, he mentioned and says that the best amongst you, khayrukum, khayrukum li ahlihi. The best amongst you is the one who is best in conduct with his wives. So we have to take stock of ourselves, that we, how do we conduct ourselves? Now in our office we get several types of, you know, of situations that we are faced with. And I just want to talk about the misconceptions with regards to talaq. One lady came to our office, and she said, I'm separated from my husband for many, many years. I was separated. And subsequent to that, the elders in my family, they told me that if you 3 months you are separated from your husband, then automatically you are talaq. Now, if we are not au fait, we are not familiar with the masail, my dear brothers, then we must not indulge in it. The correct thing is to do is to get in touch with somebody who is versatile, who is knowledgeable, who knows about this masail, and to find out about that. By age, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are know the masail. Because sometimes you find an elderly person doing something, but he's not au fait, he doesn't know the correct procedure and the manner of that particular masla. So he may have learnt it or understood it incorrectly in his life, and nobody really taught him, or he didn't really know about it. So that was his circumstances. But if we are not sure, we must ask. Ask a medical doctor pertaining to medicine. You can't ask a carpenter, or you can't ask an electrician. That fellow is a specific person for his field. So each man has got his field. You can't ask a Maulana whether he must have a heart operation or not. That's not his field. He doesn't know that. He doesn't know. You have to go to a medical doctor. You can't ask, you know, the different people pertaining to something that they don't know. Our masail and deen, my dear brothers, we have to take it from authentic people. People with whom we have got trust, who will not mislead and misguide us, and who will show us the correct tariqah to be steadfast on the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is from whom we must take deen. So this lady said that her family members, they told her that you separated many years, you are like many months, you are automatically talaq. So she told us that she got married to somebody else. And from that other person, she had some children also. Now she came to our office, and they had some inheritance masla. so that they came to our office. But while we are talking to them, we came to know that this lady, she did not exit her first marriage in a legitimate and in a correct manner. That's because her elders in her family, she said that no, they told me that no, you must get married now to this person because so many years you are separated from your husband, and when you're not 3 months, you don't sleep with your wife, automatically it's talaq. So I want to dispel that misconception. No matter how long you may be separated from your wife, or no matter how long you may not have intimacy with your wife, she does not automatically become talaq from a husband. A wife, a woman, she requires in clear and unambiguous words that the husband must give her a talaq. And this is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has given us, the men, the control and the, can I say, the right of issuing talaq. Now this is also another misconception that I want to dispel today, inshallah. We had one lady who came to our office, and then in the discussion, she said, no, I gave my husband talaq, man. You see, now she was not aware that like a wife cannot give a husband talaq. And he to bichara, he also didn't know the masla, like. So he also thought like, if my wife gave me talaq, I'm talaq from my wife. So some people, they don't know the masla. That's why, my dear brothers, every day, if we can learn one masla, every day we must try and learn one masla. In one whole year, you'll know 360 masail. Our deen, Allahu Akbar, we are so fortunate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the best rehber and guide in the form of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Things are not left to our own interpretation. With regards to talaq, my dear brothers, some people, they feel that they have to give 3 talaqs. Then only the talaq is valid. There are some people have this understanding that, you know, my wife 3 talaq, I came to give her the 3 talaqs. So then you say, why you have to give her 3? You can do the same job with 1. Why do you have to give her 3? So now we have to try to explain to them. So at least minimum, you know, our late, our Maulana Abdul Rahim Khan, Mark, we used to call him Mark, the Ustad from Orient. He's all our Ustad. Many of the people who are sitting here, who are students of his, even ulama, are students of his. Allah Pak make his maghfirat and elevate his darajat. When he taught us these lessons when we were in school, so what he did, he drew one gun on the board. I can't forget it, because it's like the manner in which he taught the lesson to us, we cannot forget it for the rest of our life. So he drew one gun on the board, and he put 3 bullets inside the thing. And then he told us, class, listen to me now, I'm going to tell you something very important. You see this gun here, it's got 3 bullets inside, and each bullet is a bullet of talaq. So then he told us, if you shoot 1 bullet, then 1 bullet of talaq is gone from your gun. If you shoot all 3 bullets at one time, then all 3 bullets will go out, it will be 3 bullets at one time. If you shoot 2, 2 will be gone, 1 is still remaining inside. So some people, especially in our day and age, we got this thing called, you know, one Mufti Google. So we had like one lady came there, she said that no, my husband gave me 3 talaqs, and she said, I did my research on the internet. Now she came to the Maulanas, but it's like you going to a doctor or a heart surgeon and you telling him that, you know what, I'm suffering from this ailment, but I did my research and I think that I should be taking this medication. He tell you, why you came to me? If you did the research, you think you know everything, then you should have rather just go and administer the medication yourself. So she came now to get a masla from us, that listen, I did my research, my husband gave me 3 talaq, and in this fatwa, I found that, you know, the 3 talaq given in one sitting is, actually it's 1 talaq, and it depends on the intention, and this and that, and she gave us all the explanation. But my dear brothers, all the 4 fuqaha, there's no difference of opinion, all of them are of the opinion that giving the 3 talaqs is 3 talaqs, even if you give it in one sitting. So now some people, they try to go by a grand mufti. And what do I mean by a grand mufti? Like a mufti where you give him 1 grand in an envelope or something, and he'll give you the masla according to what you want. Allah save us, my dear brothers, we're living in challenging times. Very challenging times. Very, very challenging times. Allah Ta'ala safeguard and protect us. Because, my dear brothers, this is a time of fitna. So a person goes, he does his own research. Now the husband gave several talaqs in a marriage, and then the wife comes and she relates, and then she tells us that, no, during the subsistence of my marriage, several times my husband told me talaq, several times, but then he convinced me that, no, he told it to me out of anger. Or he told it to me, he didn't really mean it. So my dear brothers, the masla is that if you say talaq in jest, in joke, like you are just joking with your wife, or you are threatening her, you're having some argument or something with her, and you say, I give you talaq. So if you gave her talaq in those words, then even if you say it in jokingly, you say it seriously, you say it intentionally, you say it unintentionally, you say it in anger, you say it, you know, whatever you might be conditioned, then my dear brothers, that talaq is effective. Remember that lesson Maulana taught us, whatever condition, he told us that a man is drunk also, that he pulls a gun, that thing, that bullet will go, he asked us. He asked us if a man, he pulls a thing when he's drugged. Some people come, they say, no, I was under the intoxicants, or I took some drug or something. I didn't even know what I'm saying. So he told us, you pull that trigger, that talaq goes, that effect is on a person like that. So we have come across recently so many people, my dear brothers, the wife will say that my husband told me several times talaq, but they are still living together under one roof, they are still living in one room, they are still intimate with one another, whereas actually that marriage has terminated a long time ago in the sight of Allah. My brothers, nikah is a very, very, very sacred institution. Two unknown people come together in the name of Allah. Nothing much is said there. They just ask you, nakahtuha wa qabiltuha. You have accepted her, I have accepted her as my wife. You didn't say nothing much, but in the name of Allah, you have taken her as your wife. Allah makes the part that is most private of hers and yours halal for one another. Just by the utterances of these words of Allah, on the name of Allah. So, husband and wife, they become husband and wife, and the normally what's impermissible becomes halal for them only because of the name of Allah having been taken. So I'm saying it's a sacred institution. So it should not be taken lightly. And then some people just, utilize the utterances of talaq, you know, just willingly, without any thinking. Sometimes a person comes and the wife is crying, the husband is crying. They want to be together, but the husband gave 3 talaqs and they got small, small children. So brothers, let us calm down. You have a situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran. The Quran is an ajeeb kitab. The book of Allah, it is, my dear brothers, revelation. It is the words of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I said that hadith, Abghadul halali, the worst, most detested, disliked act which is permissible in the sight of Allah is, my dear brothers, talaq. But out of necessity, Allah has made it permissible. Now we get some people, some husbands will come, they say, hey, I don't want to give a talaq and all that because I don't want to shake the arsh of Allah. They tell us that. So we say that you're making zulm on her, that you're not shaking the arsh of Allah. But you're telling you to release her from the marriage because you're not providing for her, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. They have a whole list of grievances. But my dear brothers, minimum if you go with this message, that if you have a situation, you need to, number one, handle it with calmness and handle the situation when you are not angry. That's why you must go out of the house. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu went away out of the house when he had some discord with his wife. And the hadith says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in the house, he asked his daughter, Fatima radiallahu anha, where's Hazrat Ali? So she said, O Nabi of Allah, we had some discord between us, we had some issue between us, and he's gone in the masjid. Allahu Akbar. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he did? He waited for a while, and then he went in the masjid. How we handle a situation, if there's a situation, what do we do? We'd say, hey, what happened? Oh, I'm going to fix him up. I'll do this, I'll do that. Allah safeguard him. In the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the seerah mubarakah, there are ways and lessons for us to learn from how to handle a situation. Then don't say anything out of anger. Wait for the situation, calm it down, get somebody senior, And if two people from the family of the husband and wife, two internal people, first is them themselves. If not, then some senior people from both the families must sit down with them. And Allah says, إِن يُرِيدَا إِصْلَاحًا, if they have the intent of making islah between these two, of unifying them, Allah says, يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the tawfiq of getting to get this couple together. So who we make mashara with? If a woman goes to a woman who's divorced or who's single, then my dear brother, she'll get advice accordingly. But if she goes to a lady who's, like, for example, married maybe 50 years, just as a matter of interest, is there anybody here in this masjid who's married more than 50 years? Maybe Hafiz Saab is married more than 50 years. Hafiz Saab, more than 50? Alhamdulillah, Hafiz Saab is married more than 50 years. Is there anybody else? Raise your hand if you married more than 50 years. Allahu Akbar, Mr. Samji. I think we youngsters, we need to go by these elders and sit down with them and ask them, what is the secret of your marriage? How you married to one woman for more than 50 years is a kamal. Allah give us a tawfiq, my dear brothers. My time is up. Inshallah, we'll continue some other time.